Sunday Meditation, May 15th, 2005.
And this is a link to
the question this week has to do with change and renewal and the circumstances of such within each of us who seeks. We're wondering if there has been an influx of this energy that allows change, if it's available to everybody, or if the changes that the people in this group have been going through recently are a product of people who seek. Could you give us some information on what allows change, renewal, rebirth, transformation within seekers of truth? Is it more the qualities that are set up within the person, or qualities that are within the environment about a person?
We are those known to you as the principle of the cool. We are going to pause immediately in order that this instrument may adjust for microphones, in order that we may go on with this communication. We are those of Ukua and are once again with this instrument. We thank each of you for allowing us to make these adjustments, for the recording is helpful for those in the larger group of Ellendale Research, as it is so called in your planetary way of speaking, that we are able to impress the magnetic tape with our words so that they can be used as a resource for more people than those who are sitting in this circle of seeking at this time. We would thank each of you who has come here this day for the dedication of your time and your focus at this moment in your life. It is a great blessing to us to be able to address such questions as you have put to us this day. And we thank you for your seeking for the truth, and also, and separately, for the real beauty of each of you as you join in the circle and lend your vibrations to the amalgamation or amassing of a group consciousness in this sacred place. The beauty of you assembled here is stunning, and we are humbled and feel very privileged to be called to your group. As always, we would ask you to take exquisite care in discriminating between those thoughts of ours which seem to be helpful to you and those which do not. If you will discard without a second thought any of our opinions that does not ring true to you, it will enable us to speak freely. We are not people of authority. We are those who have perhaps walked a few steps further on the path of evolution of mind, body, and spirit than have you. But we seek still, and we are still learning. We thank you for observing this fastidiousness in your discrimination of thoughts, for that will enable us to speak without being concerned that we will interfere with your process or infringe upon your free will. You ask us this day concerning the process of letting go of that which we perceive within ourselves to be used up or old or dead, and how to embrace the process of transformation, transfiguration, and rebirth. We are most glad to address this melange of subjects with you. The challenge for us is where to start. Perhaps we would start with the comment made by the one known as Jim in laying out this question for us concerning the emerging of a new wave of energy. And as this instrument said earlier in conversation, and as we have said several times in the past little while to this group, there have been repeated waves of energy that have been global in their scope, and indeed have affected your entire solar system in some cases. Some of these energetic bursts are coming from within the inner processes of your planetary sphere, as this instrument said earlier, undergoes the continuation of a fairly lengthy and not particularly easy labor as it births the fourth density, Gaia, that planetary being which is fully sentient and is evolving in her own right. The other bursts of energy which have hit this planet, and indeed your entire solar system, are those coming from what this instrument has sometimes called the Great Central Sun, and are informed by the combined love and concern of various of the larger groups of entities who wish this planet and indeed this solar system well. For it is a time in this planetary cycle when there is a great deal of attention focused upon this planet from all over what you would call your major galaxy. The birth of fourth density planet Earth goes well. The baby is very much alive. The resistance set up by fourth density energies striking a very divided group of those who dwell upon the surface of planet Earth has set up waves of interference, which could be seen to be as a planet-wide system of psychic greeting, if you will, in that all of those who are attempting at this time to embrace fourth density values and live in a way that is compatible with graduation into fourth density can reliably expect at this time and in the near future, to be visited by those entities and situations which offer the clearest possible catalyst having to do with all third density energies that are still embraced, that mitigate against the acceptance of fourth density energies. We give this instrument the phrase "the ghost in the machine." The Ghost in the Machine was a literary work which purported to deal with the effects of mechanization upon Western culture. And there was this concept of the machine age as taking the soul from entities so that they were witnesses more to the machine than to their own beings. The culture in which you are bathed and in which you dance at this time has given you gifts. As the one known as Alex said earlier, there are biases and distortions built into the developing spirit within incarnation upon planet Earth by entities such as parents, teachers, and other authority figures, which for weal or for woe create bias, create within each of you opinions as to what is good, what is painful, and what is trustworthy in your environment. These gifts include, as we have said before, nuggets of the most precious pain and suffering which you have taken into yourselves, often at times when you were too young and too defenseless to do anything with this pain. Consequently, it has gone down into the earth of your subconscious as a little nugget or engram of crystallized pain. And so, as you come through your own experiences as an adult entity and as one which has chosen to accelerate the pace of your spiritual evolution within incarnation, you have cast yourselves in the role of miners going after this buried treasure, lifting it to the light of the present moment within your own open heart so that you can realize the gifts that you have given yourself and finally open them and do something with them. We build to some extent upon past information in this session, and so would encourage any who become confused by anything that we have to say to seek those two previous times of asking in which this group worked together on how to clear old suffering from the mind-body-spirit complex that is each of you. Our basic concept is that of, as this instrument said earlier, helping each of you to come into a celebration of yourself. We do not encourage this of you on the level of third density. It is not our orientation to encourage the energies within you of personality. We do not object at all to your personalities. However, as this instrument said earlier, the personality shell that each of you brought into incarnation was brought in order that you might have the tools and resources that you needed in order to follow the agenda that you had set out for yourself prior to incarnation. The resources that you gave yourself included people, such as your parents, and many people within your life with whom you had made agreements before incarnation. They were not necessarily agreements to work together for the service of the One Infinite Creator. In some cases, they were agreements to clear up or balance adhering catalyst that sometimes is called karma by your peoples. Some of these people showed up in your life as people with whom you seemed to have nothing but a continuing argument, or for whom you could not feel as you ought, and we use that word in quotes, especially people in your family whose object has in this incarnation seemed to be to create interference and resistance in your own pattern. In many cases, this person was chosen specifically so that you could work on loving yourself. It is often very difficult to approach in a direct way the central challenge of loving the self. And so you are given mirrors. Sometimes the mirrors are loving and honest, and you get a pretty fair image of yourself, one that you can look upon with some feelings of stability and trust in that image that you are seeing. When you look at yourself through the mirror of other entities, such as those about whom we spoke, those that give you the catalyst, the interference, and the resistance, you are looking at a very skewed and distorted mirror of yourself, and yet it is a mirror of those parts of yourself with which you have had arguments in the past. Perhaps not even in this lifetime, but in between incarnations or in other incarnations. Perhaps you do not have adhering catalyst with this entity. Perhaps you put that entity in your life simply to learn to love without expectation of return. However, as you forgive that entity for its skewed picture of you, you begin to see that you have only to forgive yourself in order to create room within that portion of yourself that we would call the heart. Now, we have spoken about the heart chakra, and about how, although it seems that it is a wonderful place, always open, always loving, and so forth, that actually the heart chakra has an outer court that is a real challenge to negotiate. As you move through clearing the red, orange, and yellow ray chakras. As you move through issues of survival, personal relationships, and group or legal relationships, you are able to become clear because you have done the work associated with those energies. They do not include the energies of loving. They include, rather, work done in balancing, accepting, and understanding the nature of those energies, red, orange, and yellow ray. When one reaches the heart chakra, one enters an outer courtyard in which, in this instrument's system of images, is seen the cellars of sacrificial doves and other temple accoutrements, postcards and tourist items. You see crowds of entities associated with all the work that you have done in the lower three chakras, entities and situations which you have not entirely digested, entities and situations which are unloved by you, unforgiven, unaccepted, and not seen as a worthy part of the self. Do not fear that you shall be offenders in entering the sacred space of your own heart with all this baggage, for there are lions at the gate of the inner temple. Fortunately, at any time that you wish to circumnavigate the detailing and processing of all these entities, the lions at the gate are satisfied if you can simply accept that, as this instrument said earlier, you are a flawed human entity whose nature is to some extent to be distorted and in error. If you can let that suffice, you may put down the baggage of the crowds. You do not have to chase the moneylenders out of the temple today. You do not have to forgive all that you have brought into the outer courtyard of the heart today. It is enough that you love and accept yourself as you are. For such a one, the temple lions bow and welcome you in. And you are immediately and without any more hesitation in that place within the heart that is sacred, and in which the Creator sits waiting for you with infinite patience and love. There you have a place of rest and renewal. We do encourage each of you who seeks to let go of old pain, to squarely meet the lions at that gate daily, to walk in and sit down and let yourself be loved, understood, and accepted totally. part of you that is the Creator can only come into its own when it is nourished by companionship with the Divine. Silence within this sacred space is a powerful resource that will offer you much clarity through time, whether or not you have any awareness whatsoever of work done or things understood or any sort of mystical satori. And let us take a look at this suggestion of the one known as Alex, that there are these crystallized nuggets of pain that one can do nothing about. We would agree that the energy of inertia is such that, left untended, left unrecognized, shall we say, these nuggets are there for life. They do not float to the surface and go through the process of refinement and acceptance by themselves. Your will is all important. Your choices are all that create the opportunity for you to accelerate the pace of your spiritual growth. We have talked to some extent about the efficacy of identifying the entrances to these underground points of pain. The adits to this particular kind of mind can be seen well as triggers. And you know that a trigger has been pulled when you begin having reactions or responses of an emotional or mental type that are in excess of the reaction that would be considered appropriate by your wisest, highest, and best self. As the one known as Connie said, the tip-off is when you begin to experience being pulled away from your center of self. When you feel this occurring, you have two choices. The choice that most entities who are not focused on analyzing their thoughts and pursuing a course of the discipline of the personality is to allow the tape that has been triggered to roll. And it will roll just as it has rolled ever since the first instance of this type of experience, probably in your childhood, until it has come to its end, at which time you will be free again to live a normal, centered life. Until that tape is done, you are temporarily listening to or acting out the contents of that tape, whatever that is. Your other choice is to take the moment of recognition that you have been triggered and make the choice to stop and say to yourself, I am being triggered. Then asking yourself what the triggering event was, how it happened, how it can be analyzed and so forth, using your mind, until you have satisfactorily to yourself analyzed the trigger. And then moving that very difficult 14 inches down from head to heart and asking from the heart, what is my best self's response to this trigger? When you ask the question, it might be helpful, if you have not done this, as this instrument has for years, to have a pen and a paper at hand, or be sitting at a typewriter or a keyboard, because you will get information concerning what your highest and best self would do. Asking what your highest and best self would do is asking for your guidance system to kick in. You have a great guidance system. The problem entities have with their guidance system is that it must be activated. It's an entity that is yourself at a future time in terms of your third density physics. It is yourself in the midst of sixth density. This instrument calls her guidance system the Holy Spirit or Holly. Other entities call their guidance system a guidance system or their guru, or any of a number of other constructions in which guidance is explained one way or another. But it is actually a quite a complex web of entities. Certainly chief among them is the creator-driven version of yourself moving back to you from sixth density. But you have picked up many entities from the inner planes, as this instrument would call them, who have been attracted to you because of the beauty of your hope and faith, or because of the kind of mission that you came into incarnation to pursue, or for any of a number of other reasons, resulting in the opinion of inner planes entities that you are a person they would like to help. And they range from tiny children who simply want to help you find lost things, to the most wonderful and complex personalities, masters or gurus or entities of that type from various of the inner planes that have been drawn to you because they feel they might be able to prove to be a resource in your own process. Some of these entities have names, some of them are simply energies or essences. Some of them speak in ways such as we do, in concepts which come up through the subconscious mind. Some of them speak through coincidences, birds, animals, street signs, using your environment to find ways to communicate with you, a word or a concept or a feeling. Some of them speak to you in sleep. And some, such as we, are there during meditation if you ask us to join you, so that we may deepen the stability of your basic meditative state. It is a tremendous resource to ask yourself what your best self would do in a triggered situation. You may not be able to use that information at the present time. It takes some repetition to learn how to stop the tape before it has finished its role. You may have to listen to that tape all the way through once again, but when you have been through this process, you are at least listening to the tape consciously, aware that you are no longer in consensus reality. You are playing a tape. That's all it is. It is a piece of information frozen in its original distorted form for you to play again and again until you get it. Until you finally get what's on that tape. In a way, it is as if pain were a joke. And when you finally get the joke, the laughter clears the pain. It is not that you are a joke or that suffering is a joke. It is that you are dwelling in a thoroughgoing illusion. The things that occur to you are in the nature of parable or story. You think, if you do not look closely, that you are simply experiencing the surface of life. And yet life has innumerable levels. And depending upon the clarity of your consciousness and your comfort level within yourself, you are very capable of moving quickly through many layers of reality, moving from surface illusion into any number of levels that are more real than the surface illusion. You can at one time be in a cartoon, a carnival, a school, and a temple. All of these environments are layered within you, and all are equally valid. In fact, you have an infinite array of valid points of view. Where is the key then on where to stand to look at your experience and to deal with it in ways that clear old suffering and welcome and invite transformation and rebirth? In one sense, the key is to stop thinking and to be. We have said innumerable times to this group that your job here is to be. We have said that your basic mission here is to be yourself. And if you look at our previous discussion, you may perhaps begin to see into just how complex a thing it is to clear away the debris of stray thoughts and old habits and achieve that which is simply to be. The one known as Rene said, "I think, therefore I am." And we would say to the one known as Rene, "We are, therefore we think." The mind has been given a great deal of respect in late centuries. From the 18th century onward, the mind has gained ascendancy over the faculties of the heart. the world has become a skeptic, does not live by faith, but by what it can prove and see and hear. In some ways, this is an asset. For when one lives only by faith, that faith can degenerate rapidly into superstition and irrationality takes one on many a fanciful journey that is no more valid than being a ghost in the machine. But to be yourself is somewhat of a challenge, simply because there are overlays upon overlays upon overlays of things you think about yourself, things other people think about you that you've taken on as if they were your own, and so forth. Your culture is relentless in its insistence that you think of yourself in narrowly channeled slots of identity. And we encourage you to cast off each and every attempt of the culture to limit you. For you are, and each of us in the creation is, an infinite and illimitable being. We cannot express to you how many experiences you have had that have brought you here today, even within this incarnation. Yet you came into this incarnation as part of the stream of one soul, one cell, shall we say, of the body of the creation. You are unique, and yet you are not limited by that sum that is you. You cannot be summed up by your experiences to this point, because you are alive in the way that the Creator is alive, eternally and infinitely. You are, in fact, a part of the Creator. And you take part in the reality of that identity in a way that is so deep that you cannot remove it from yourself. No matter how much you yearn to be able to say, I am me, you shall never understand the totality of who you are, because so much of it is lost up in the part of you that is not of this density and not of this world, but rather of all density. But rather of all densities and all worlds. Stretching the self out and shaking off the clothing of an incarnation is a wonderful exercise. You cannot shake away your core identity, for it is from this identity that you have the focus to draw breath. Your identity is far deeper than what you came in with at birth, and far deeper than what you will leave with when you enter the gates of larger life. Your identity at heart is that of the Creator. You asked, how can we make room in ourselves for transformation? How can we make use of these rolling waves of renewal energy that are flowing into the planet at this time? And we would say, open yourself to the limitless possibilities of yourself and stop believing the publicity about yourself from yourself and from those around you. Release yourself from the seemingly helpful mooring of those anchors of selfhood that you have thrown down to hold the boat against the current. For there is a system of currents in that sea of becoming that entities upon the inner planes have so much more awareness of than do you. Allow yourself at last to float free without an anchor overboard that holds you in some perceived safe harbor. You may consider yourself then as a vehicle moored upon the surface of this inner ocean by the physical vehicle of a boat, a ship, shall we say. You have a rudder. That rudder is your desire. Set your desire by that which is the deepest felt hope of your heart. And sense into the oncoming winds and play with those winds and sail before that wind. And for the first time, experience that feeling of I am who I am. We ask you to think about this as we leave this subject, for this instrument is telling us that we must go on. Endemic to your culture, and we specifically speak of the Western culture, is a concept of self that is ruthlessly independent of others. Now, this works for third density work. One is almost forced to think of oneself as over against them, the others that are in your world. In terms, however, of spiritual evolution at this time for each of you, it is helpful to realize that you are not simply evolving yourself. You are evolving your race, and by that we mean humankind. As the Creator is in you, so you are a co-creator that is involved in humankind. And it is specifically helpful to think of the larger self at this time when the planet under your feet as an entity is moving into new birth. It needs that so-called 100th monkey effect that the ones known as Sandy and Steve were speaking of. to be realized and known for the truth. You are not simply evolving for yourself. You are evolving for humankind. As you forgive yourself, the world becomes that much more able to consider forgiving itself. Any work that you do is shared out amongst the developing social complex of your planetary mind. You are not alone. And you are not, quote, part of, close quote, the group. You are a cell in the body of the Creator, which is manifested at this time upon the surface of your planet. You have very special gifts. You are a specialized cell. Some of you are healers. Some of you are communicators. Some of you are those who love. There are as many specializations as there are parts of the body. And it is a very complex body. But you are doing what you are doing as part of that body. And you do not know what effect you may have outside of your own sphere of awareness. Yet we assure you that no loving acceptance that you are able to achieve of yourself stops with yourself. It echoes as the pebble into the pond to the very edges of that pond. The archangel known as Michael is that entity which expresses the gifts and powers of fire. And that entity at this time is at attention on the behalf of planet Earth. Be aware of the power that you wield at this time. Know that the sword of truth was never sharper and never more ready to sever you from old pain. We encourage you to embrace every seeming obstacle, resistance, and difficulty, asking it what its gift is for you, embracing it, accepting it, and loving it. We thank each of you for developing this group question, and at this time would open the meeting to follow-up questions or any other queries that you may have at this time. Is there a question at this time?
I have one. Come in my mind last few days. So we were talking about this crystal and getting some information that we couldn't quite translate or couldn't quite get the words. I wonder if your assistance tell us what message and the word and where the entities were from or whatever comes to your mind.
We are those of Ukuo and are aware of your query, my brother. As you know, we draw back from questions of the nature that you put forward now simply because these questions are very leading and involved intimately and specifically with the process that is developing for what the one known as Cindy called your group of four. We would simply say that there is indeed, as you have already expressed, no error or chance involved in the coming of this transmitter, receiver, and transducer from coming into your group, or as this instrument has said, into your pocket. As many physical objects, such as the jewelry this instrument wears and the doll it has on its lap, function, your crystal functions as a collector and transmitter of information and energy. Without such collecting devices, you would still receive the same information. The devices come to you because you, on an inner level, have committed yourself to taking on the substantially enhanced work involved in getting the information at a faster rate. The way to work with such energy collectors as these is to lean into them. In other words, to clap for Tinkerbell, to believe that they are efficacious, and therefore to preset your mind to receive information. This instrument earlier suggested that you retain a pen and paper when you have this crystal with you in order that you might jot down thoughts that come to you that do not seemingly come from your surface mind. This is one good way of coming into an enhanced awareness of the nature of this collector. What is it collecting? What level is it working on with you? What kind of information does it have? Do you find it helpful? This kind of process is what we would encourage you to pursue. The difference between one who is working with a mind but not a full heart or a focused desire, is that interesting things keep occurring to them, which they do not particularly note down. Therefore, interesting things simply keep occurring. When one begins to focus in on the type of interesting thing that might be occurring at a particular time, and one begins to look deeper, that focus stands you in good stead and separates you from the casual observer. The deeper you are willing to go with such a collecting device, the more information you are able to collect. We offer you the simple caution of awareness. Be aware that what you learn, you are then tested upon. What you ask for, you will be given. When you knock, the door is opened and you step into a reality for which you are then responsible for being aware of. To those to whom much is given, there lies, as a result, a responsibility. What shall you do with all of that which this device gives you? That would be our caution to you. It is exhilarating to move quickly, but in the ways of metaphysical development, as you move, you collect spiritual gravity, and things can weigh heavily into your process. Therefore, when you do sense that you are, shall we say, being tested on what you have learned recently, do not panic. You have studied. You have learned. Now here is a test. Meet that test with your heart open and your guidance system notified that you need help, and write quickly. You will be fine. There is no failing grade in these tests. Nevertheless, if you are not able to participate in a test so that you have seen the pattern of that test, then you will simply receive that test in another way at another time. Therefore, we would say to you that it is well to take a good rest when you see such a test coming up. Focus not on more study, but on getting the equivalent metaphysically of a good night's rest. Consult your guidance system. Root down into your earth, your environment, your relationships, and especially your relationship with yourself. And then sail on, fearless and full of love, for the moment, for the test, for the Creator, and for your part in it all as a cell of that creative principle. May we answer you further, my brother.
It's a lot to think about. Quite helpful, though. Unlike your answer on the Derby, it wasn't it was a 50-to-1 shot and not a sure thing, but that's okay. But as always, I'm very grateful for your time and your efforts and always your valuable wisdom.
We are those at Mukuo, and we thank you, my brother. You too are valuable to us. Is there another query at this time?
Yes, I have a question. I'm hoping this is appropriate, and if you can't answer it, I can quite understand. It's with regard to the American military bases that are being closed all over the country. Is this having something to do with... I have my concern is that, does this have anything to do with moving and the natural progression to the fourth density, or is it more of a... Does it have anything to do with the possibility of creating internment camps within the United States in order to reduce the population of the earth?
We are those of Mukuo. My sister and are aware of your query. We would content ourselves with saying that, to the best of our knowledge, the energies having to do with the closing of these bases does not fit in at all with the energies of fourth density. Rather, they fit in with third density energies, which are reacting quite violently and negatively to the incoming fourth density positive energies of planet Earth as it shall be very soon. The reasons for these closures are very involved in third density political and economic agendas, which do not, shall we say, have that stamp of unconditional love at all. Further than that, my sister, we would prefer not to explore, for we do not feel that it is our place to discuss the machinations of the world of illusion among your peoples. We can simply say that your natural tendency to distrust and suspect less than pure motives for such fairly substantial and massive changes is fairly accurate. We do not say that there are internment camps in your politicians' minds, but simply that there are wheels within wheels and machinations within machinations among those who hold power among your people. We would also offer our humble suggestion that in terms of metaphysical progress among your people, the goal of understanding such machinations may helpfully be described as knowing what is in order to love it and forgive it unconditionally. Recall the plight of the thief and murderer upon the cross next to the one known as Jesus. When this entity asked the one known as Jesus if Jesus would remember him when he came into his glory, the one known as Jesus replied, allegedly, "This day you shall be with me in paradise." As we said earlier, you are not moving into paradise by yourself. Your culture and all of the people of the tribe of humankind hope to come with you. Love them. May we answer you further, my sister?
No, thank you. I understand and totally accept the answer. Thank you.
We thank you, my sister. We are those of Kuo, and would ask if there is another query at this time.
Kuo, I wonder if you would speak to the mechanism by which mineral communicates with an organic entity such as a human.
We are those of Kuo and are aware of your query, my sister. This is a subtle question, my sister. But we will attempt through this instrument, which has no scientific background whatsoever, to give you some coherent answer. Minerals are full of first density energy. That energy is fully conversant with the one infinite creator and is alive. There is no part of your environment that is not fully alive, with the exception of, as this instrument would say, the distance between your ears, which in terms of all densities but third density, is truly a dark zone. Not nearly as alive with the infinite creator as all densities but the third. And thusly, the energies of a mineral are very vulnerable to impression by thought. For one who grasps the interrelatedness of all things, the space defined by the angles and spaces within those angles of a crystal are especially vulnerable to impression by thought, especially when it is a thought connected with emotional energy, such as a heartfelt thought, shall we say. Unfortunately, in many cases, those wishing to impress crystals with thought are those which impress them with negative thoughts. In fact, there are entities who have created cultures in which negative thoughts are ritually impressed upon, say, a rock or a crystal and then buried in order to do something with that negativity. However, crystals can also be impressed with positive thoughts or with a personality. May we answer you further, my sister?
Yes.